Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Turn with me as go back to the book of Galatians. I have two verses of scripture on my mind this morning. Galatians 3:13 and Philippians 3:10. And we'll start in Galatians 3:13. And the title of what's on my mind, if I were to give it a title, it would be Christ Hath Redeemed Us.
Amen.
Up the road here just a little ways, there's a church sitting beside the road, and on their sign outside they had Christ Redeems. And then you see other things that says Christ can redeem, and Christ wants to redeem, and Christ will redeem. But the Scripture says Christ has already, He hath redeemed us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, if you believe the Scriptures, the us is the elect of God. It's the children of God. It's the children of the covenant. Christ hath redeemed all the children of the covenant at once on the cross.
Amen.
He didn't make any. He didn't make it possible for men to be redeemed. He didn't possibly redeem anybody. He didn't put it within the reach of man. If he had a will to do this or that he could be redeemed. No, Christ has redeemed us.
Amen. Yeah.
It's done. I do not understand, logically thinking, how can a body take Christ hath redeemed us and turn it into Christ wants to redeem? How do you do that? I don't know. That's just like the Israelites over there. The Lord said, here now, go up here to this promised land. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to chase out all the inhabitants there. I'm going to send in hornets and bees and this and that. And I'm going to run them out of there and I'm going to give you that land. And they went up and they said, Lord, we can't take it. It's unbelief. And that comes from the natural depravity of our mind through the fall in Adam. We do not believe God. By nature, we just do not believe God. Therefore, there's no way for Him to speak to us. This Bible has been with us for thousands of years already. And unless God will open our eyes to it, we still can't see it.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Yes, it is.
Christ hath redeemed us.
Amen.
Now, He redeemed all of His children. He purchased them all at Calvary. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. He purchased us. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with the price. Well, does that say, well, Christ will buy you if you do something? That's not what it says. You are bought already.
Yes.
You are purchased. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It is astonishing how man twists the word to suit his doctrine.
Yes.
And his doctrine is that, well, God wants you to do something, but He can't do anything for you until you let Him.
Oh,
they've got a God they can manipulate, and He used to be mine, until the Lord opened my eyes against my will, made me mad, disappointed me, and finally shut my mouth and set me down. Sitting out here, I'm going to show you the truth. He gave me a desire to know the truth. And thank God I still want to know the truth. And I'd like to learn more of the truth as God is willing, as it is God's will to reveal it to me, because I certainly couldn't learn anything that he wasn't able to reveal it, and if he's not willing that it should, it wouldn't be for my good if I did. So I want him to teach me as he will, and it seems to me he has to teach me at a very, very slow pace. But you are bought with a price, and that price was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That price was God's blood.
Amen.
How
Amen.
Precious is that? Acts 20:28, I know you all know that, but let's go over there and read it again. These things are absolutes in the Word of God. There's no possibility in these things. They're absolutely the truth of the Scripture. Acts 20:28. Take heed, this is Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flocks, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, if I was a yea and nay preacher, I'd say, well, it's a possibility that Christ might purchase you if you're willing to let God have his way. That's what I'd say to you if I was a yea and nay preacher. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. It's all dependent upon you and your state of mind, whether or not you're willing to let God have his way. But you have to let him. I mean, after all, it's all in your hands. That's yea and nay preaching. Well, it might be. It's up to you. After all, you're in control. God has to do whatever you say. He can't do anything for you unless you let him. How foolish. How I hate to use the word, I don't mean to sound bad, but how stupid is that? I mean, that's just really stupid. God made this creation, all this earth, just by speaking the word. He willed everything that comes to pass in time. And then people say, well, if that little maggot over there won't let God do this or that, God just can't do it. I mean, that to me, that seemed very stupid. But anyhow, let's get back to what is written here in this book. That's our only, and people will say, people will take the thoughts of their heart above Scripture, and they'll say, well, the Lord, he told me to stay away from that predestination doctrine. And he wrote it down plainly in his word. And they say, well, we don't know about election, whether that's really true or not. Although the Lord Jesus Christ preached election, the Apostle Paul preached election, the Apostle Peter and all the other apostles preached election, but people say, well, we don't really know about that. Yeah. They don't believe God.
That's exactly right.
They just don't believe God. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. They don't believe God, and their own sin will be imputed to them, and they'll stand before God speechless without the right, without being clothed in the garments of salvation and the robe of righteousness at the day of judgment. Now, we're going to be there too, but our mouth's going to be full of praises to the God, and we're going to receive the reward of grace according to the works of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we were in him and considered part with him when he performed those works. And we are clothed with that righteousness that he established when he was here upon the earth.
Amen.
We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We appear there. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We cannot be condemned, because we're clothed with that perfection that's in Christ Jesus. And that's going to answer for us at that day.
Amen.
We're going to receive the reward of the free grace of God. Let me go to Romans chapter chapter 5. Verse 17. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Adam. We're all akin to Adam, and death reigned over us. Spiritual death reigned over us in Adam.
Yeah.
Much more they that receive abundance of grace. Well, grace was given to that group whom Christ redeemed before the foundation of the world. God hath saved us, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Amen.
Much more they that receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. When our Lord Jesus Christ hung on that tree, when He was hanging there, our sins were upon Him. That's why He was there. Our sins had been, God had laid upon Him the iniquity of all of those whom Christ redeemed by His shed blood. God had laid on Him the iniquity of us all. God had imputed my filthiness and my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He bore it before God.
Mm.
Now, He bore it, and I do not.
Yeah.
I don't bear it anymore. I am free from that.
Yeah.
Because Christ bore it on the tree. He bore the curse for it. He was made a curse for us. He bore all the cursedness of God. He was cursed of God in my room instead. And therefore, I am completely righteous. In God's sight. I cannot be blamed. I'm unblameable. I'm unreprovable before Him in love in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let every free will preacher there is in this wide world and all the devils in hell say Christ wants to redeem and that He will redeem. And He'll redeem if you'll let Him. The Bible says Christ hath redeemed. He hath. What are they going to answer whenever when they come to judgment? When the Lord looks at them and says, what do you mean by saying Christ might redeem? He did redeem.
Amen.
Look at Matthew 20:28. Matthew 20:28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many.
Amen.
He laid down a price. A ransom is to buy back. To buy back that which was forfeited. To buy out. To redeem an inheritance. To give it back. Look at Psalm 69:4. Psalm 69:4. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. Oh my. All of our, we had forfeited our inheritance as upright creatures of God in the fall. Christ gave us back much more. He ransomed us from death.
Amen.
And it's a done deal. It's finished. Our Lord, when He bowed His head on the cross and said, "It is finished," that's what He meant.
Amen.
It is finished. John 19:30. Christ hath redeemed us. Well, now, the universalist would say, well, that's all men everywhere. Even them that's already in hell. When Christ hung on the tree, yeah, He bought them too. How foolish. It's us. Well, who's us? That's that group with whom Paul was one. Paul was one in the group. And so he said, Christ hath redeemed us, and that's the elect of God. That's the children of God. That's the family of God. Look at Ephesians 3:15. Ephesians 3:15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That's us. That's the God's family. Look at 2 Peter. Chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Well, Simon Peter was a member of that group. Paul was a member of that group. James was, the Apostle John, and the Lord Jesus Christ was all a member of the group that is us in the Scriptures. And that's who the Bible is written to. It's written to us, the people of God. It's not written to the world. The world ain't got a clue about this book. I wrote to one. I talked to this man. He was a PhD in chemistry, and he worked with me. And he said the Bible is the most confusing book I ever read in my life.
That's a total truth.
I'm sure he's being truthful. He's a very intelligent man. But this book is spiritually discerned.
Amen.
Anyone who does not have the Holy Spirit to interpret this book is never going to understand this book. It's a closed book. It's sealed. They can't understand it.
Yes.
Because of the blindness of their heart. Look at Ephesians 4:18. Ephesians 4:18. Having the understanding darkened. That's the men of this world. They don't know up from down, left from right, black from white. They don't know. Their understanding is darkened because of a depraved will. They will not understand.
Amen.
Being alienated from the life of God, they're at enmity. Their mind is continually hostile toward God and for the life that is shared in the Lord Jesus Christ between the head and the body. God hath given us a record of His Son, and this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish.
Amen.
Having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them.
See?
They're blind, deaf, lame, halt. because of the blindness of their heart. Their prejudice against everything that God has, is, or does. They turn thumbs down. Look at look at Isaiah 49:8. And it may be Isaiah 49:9. No, it's 49:8. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of thy salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inhabit the desolate heritage. That ain't what I want. Look at back up at verse 7. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, His Holy One, to him that man despiseth. To him who the nation and nations, talking about the Jewish nation abhors him, but all the nations do, whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise and shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Now there's man's attitude, his enmity toward who hath believed our report and who is the arm of the Lord revealed. Before him, Isaiah 53, 1 and 2. Who hath believed our report, and who is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised of all natural men. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. That enmity of our heart comes out at the first approach to the word of the Lord. And it blinds us in nature. Now back to Galatians. Galatians 3. Christ hath redeemed us. Hallelujah. It's done. From the curse of the law. Now the law has no more curse for us. The law must absolutely bless us. The law has to pronounce us blessed, because we've done those things in Christ Jesus. He that doeth them shall live in them. Look up the back up at verse 12. The law is not of faith, but he that doeth them shall live in it. Well, when did we ever do them? Look at Philippians 3:10. Philippians 3:10. Now Paul says here, he wanted to be found in him, verse 9, Philippians 3:9, and I might be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is by the law, or by my personal fulfilling the law, my doing the deeds of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Amen. That I might know him. Well, didn't Paul know him already? He did. He said, I know whom I have believed. 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So Paul knew him, but he wanted to know more. And that is the reward of every regenerate soul. We want to know more about our Lord Jesus Christ, of His person, His work, His pardon to us, the righteousness that He established for us, our salvation in Him. And that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Well, we've tasted that already. We already have part in the first resurrection. And He said, I am the resurrection. That power that enlightens, that illuminates, that gives us an understanding of the things which we cannot understand in nature. And the fellowship of His sufferings. We were in Him. We are sharers in His sufferings. We're partakers. We are partners. Because we were in Him on that tree. I am. Galatians 2:2, I am crucified with Christ. I am bought with a price. Christ Jesus gave His life a ransom for me and for all of the children of God, the children of the covenant who are taught of the Spirit. Being made conformable unto His death. And then in another place, and I can't think of where it's at right now, He said that I might fill up that which is behind of the sufferings of Christ. Not that Paul was thinking, well, I could make His death, His blood shedding and death more efficacious by filling up that which is behind of the sufferings of Christ. But that of necessity, when the children of God walk through this world carrying this gospel, they're going to hit the afflictions of the gospel. They're going to be despised and rejected as the Lord Jesus Christ was, and fill up that which is behind, or that which follows after, or it comes as a result of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know that you all know that you cannot bear testimony to this gospel in this world without coming, falling under the reproach of the gospel. Look at 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Now there are people who say they're preachers who are ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. They will not preach the Bible because it would put them in disfavor with their congregations. They just won't touch it. They'll skip over the book of Ephesians and the book of Romans, and they'll twist all the rest of the scriptures to suit their doctrine. And therefore they don't use the Bible but very little. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. According to the power of God. Now when we're under the afflictions of the gospel, and when we're standing for that which we know to be true, the Lord Jesus stands with us. He's afflicted in all our afflictions. You can't crush the foot without the head knowing it. Ah. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He was under the curse of God when he was on that tree. And he went up on that tree bearing our sins. 1 Peter 2:24. I'll just turn and read that. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Now turn over to Isaiah chapter 50. Verse 8. Now our Lord Jesus, when he was on that tree, and putting away sin, he may have thought, he is near that justifieth me. When he had poured out his soul unto death, all of my sins and the sins of all of the children of God of all ages that were on him were cleared. When he paid the uttermost farthing in his sufferings, and when he bowed his head and said it is finished and died, he paid the price, and all our sins were gone.
Amen.
They were done away. They were cast behind the back of God. They were cast into the sea of forgetfulness. They were cast from us as far as the east is from the west. They're no longer ours. Actually, they never were ours. They were the Lord Jesus. He was the surety of the testament. God never looked to us for payment. He always looked to His Son. He is near, He is near that justifieth me. And when Christ Jesus came up out of that grave, answering that justification, His church was spotless.
Amen.
In Him. That's our confidence. That can never be changed. That cannot alter. All of hell and all the free will preachers in this world and every pope and every other body, every other person cannot change what Christ accomplished at that cross. He justified His people. And it was virtually done before the foundation of the world. God considered it done because of the certainty of the death. There was no question. There was no yea and nay about whether or not the Lord Jesus would go to that cross. For this cause came I into this world. To this purpose was I born, to bear witness to the truth.
Amen.
And to go to that cross. I talked to a person this weekend and said, that's what gets me through my hard times.
That's certain.
The absolute steadfastness of salvation in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's no maybe thing. It's sure and steadfast as the throne of God.
Amen.
Amen. We can believe that.
Amen.
We can pillow our heads on that and we can go to the judgment.
Amen.
In comfort in that. Amen.